worst thing. I can't understand my freedom of mind. Why some folks think freedom is not designed for all men. There are so many people living their life for pleasure, wondering in their mind what's gonna happen next.
And welcome to Healed DC, the first show of 2026. This is Joni Eisenberg. And we want to start the show off by, we're going to be talking in a moment with Denise Rolock Barnes, Stuart Anderson, and others about the upcoming January 19th, 21st annual Martin Luther King Peace Walk and rally in Anacostia. We're excited to have them on the air with us together with some other people who were involved with the organizing this year. But of course, we want to start out by saying many of us, if not most of us listening to PFW, are deeply disturbed about what's happening in Venezuela, being organized and led by our so-called president and the powers behind him. But we know that we're going to keep on organizing to make sure that peace is on the agenda. I want to thank WPFW, a lot of gratitude to the station, to Sue Goodwin, the interim news director, and of course, Katia Stitt, the program director, for the outstanding coverage over the weekend. Coverage that was integrated into our music programming. And we won't be talking on this show today about Venezuela, but if you stay tuned to PFW, you'll be hearing it throughout the week. I also want to say welcome back Magic Mike, our fabulous engineer. We missed him, and we're glad that he's back here with us. And I'm not sure if Chuck is on.
Yes, but Chuck, I am,
Joni. Good morning, Chuck, and Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Glad to have you with us on this particular show, especially. So let's jump right into it. I'm happy and honored to introduce Denise Rolock Barnes, who, of course, is no stranger to most of you. She's been on with us for I guess, it's probably been, I don't know, decades, Denise. But you haven't been on with us in a while, but of course you've been on other programs, the publisher of the Washington Informer and one of the key organizers of this Dr. King event every year. We're happy that you could be with us today. And I'm also thrilled to have Stuart Anderson, my longtime friend, who was on with us here on WPFW many, many, many years ago. In a completely different, when he was in a different situation, but we're happy. We're happy you're here with us today, Stuart, and the wonderful job that you and Denise have been doing for years to organize this annual Dr. King event. I'm going to start. We have other guests who are going to be joining us momentarily, who Denise and Stuart have invited. But I want to start out by asking Denise and Stuart to give our listeners the background of this march. This is the 21st annual MLK event that's taking place in Anacostia. And Denise, tell us about the history of it and whatever else you'd like to share with listeners so they understand this is an ongoing, very special event every year.
Sure, Joni. Thank you so much for having us on, and Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to all of your listeners. We're really glad to, you know, we're back again, and that's a wonderful thing. And when I say we're, I'm talking not only talking about the parade, but I'm talking about WPFW.
Thank you.
It's been some tough times we've all been facing, but, you know, the point is that we are back. So I'm very, very thankful for that. And to have this opportunity to talk about the MLK Holiday DC Peace Walk and Parade. As you know, and Stuart is better with the years than I am, but, you know, 40-some years ago, Dr. Calvin Rolock, then Councilmember Wilhelmina Rolock, and Petey Green got together right after the assassination of Dr. King. I think it was like around 72 or so, and decided that, you know, there needed to be some type of event honoring the life and legacy of Dr. King. And of course, you know, it was a Councilmember Rollark who changed Nichols Avenue to Martin Luther King Avenue. It was her legislation that did that. So, you know, they started the parade and it was huge. It was huge. It's so great to hear old folk today who were young folk then talking about marching in that parade. And, you know, it went a few miles, actually. And then, you know, over the years, once, you know, there was new leadership in the council, you know, the parade did not get, I don't think, the love that it needed. And so at some point when it was even canceled due to weather, and folks back in the day, remember, they marched through rain, snow, sleet, and hail. Now, fortunately, we haven't faced too much of that. Mm-hmm. And it would be a struggle, but, you know, the parade was never canceled due to weather. And so moving forward, when there was no parade,
Yango,
Yango Sawyer, and thank you, Yango,
Keith Silver.
Whew, thank you, Stuart. Yango and Keith and I decided, you know, we just need to have a walk. We're gonna have a peace walk. We cannot let Martin Luther King Avenue be dead on now, which was the official holiday for Dr. King. It just couldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we called all the organizations that were involved in peace work throughout the community, you know, stopping the violence, all of that. And it was amazing how many folks showed up. We didn't have a permit. So that meant that we would have to walk up the sidewalk. And fortunately, then our mayor at the time said, why am I forgetting his name now? Y'all know it's at that point in my life. Mayor Fenty said he joined us that day.
He came out.
He told MPD, he said, give him the street.
Yeah.
So many of us. So we walked up Martin Luther King Avenue. And after a couple of years of a peace walk, which we thought was important for this event, one of our volunteers, one who everybody knows, Sam, from WJLA. You all know the reporter from WJLA who's been working with us for years. He's since retired. But Sam kept saying, when are you all going to have a parade? When are you all going to have a parade? And it was interesting, Joni, because, and I'm going to cut this short in a minute, but it was interesting because as we would walk up Martin Luther King Avenue, people were so accustomed to parade. They would be out there in their lawn chairs and covered over blankets waiting for the bands. But there were no bands. It was only us. So at some point we decided, okay, you know, if we do a parade, this is a whole new piece. You know, it's more government involvement. It's more money. It's more coordination. It's all of that. But we did it. And here we are 21 years later. I can't believe it when you say that. Here we are. And, you know, we've gone up and down Martin Luther King Avenue, and our route was interrupted once by President Obama. We've had to adjust because of inaugurations, all kinds of things. But, you know, here we are. And I'll just say, and I keep saying we because it's a team. We're all volunteers. And I'm so happy to have a couple of folks who've been with us for a long time who are putting, you know, the pieces together. The last thing I'll say is when people come to our meetings and they say, you know, we ought to, we say, okay, that's your job. Whatever we ought to do is on you. So except for Reverend Thompson, who's on, she graciously accepted a role that we did not, you know, tell her to take, but she's been a wonderful leader for our MLK prayer breakfast. So with that, I'm going to stop, and maybe Stuart wants to fill in the blanks.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, Denise.
Hey, Joni, how you guys doing? I got to shout out. Thank you so much for the love. And Joni, it wasn't that long ago.
We're
talking about that first show. The first show was a long time ago. I've been on WPFW a number of times. I'm glad to have been there. I'm glad that you guys are still around. You know, I was around through kind of like the little tugging pull with, you know, the syndication and the local station. And so I've been around, and I appreciate the WPFW family, and I consider myself kin.
Yeah. Yes, you are part of our family. You sure are. Definitely. And I'd like to say that we have been, WPFW has been covering and right there at the rally in the march. I think it's been at least 10 years.
Ever since I've kind of been at the head of the table with Denise, I don't know where it happened. I don't know whether it was Keith or Yango or Denise. I don't know which one of them did it, but at one of those meetings, they introduced me as I became a logistics coordinator, you know, about maybe 15 years ago. And then one day I came to a meeting and somebody introduced me as a co-chair, right? And it stuck. It just stuck. I don't know.
It sounded like a good title to me. I mean, I think I may have done that, Stuart.
And we're very proud of you, Stuart. And of course,
you guys have made it possible. You guys have covered it. You've come out. You've, you know, set up shop in the field, and broadcast different elements of it, and been inside Union Temple, inside Busboys and Poets, inside what is now the Police Academy little place. But I forgot what it was before.
We were
in there, and
the Black Workers Center. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we're very happy. This year, I think we'll be on the air for an hour, but hopefully we'll be able to cover, promote what you're doing before the 19th, and continue to be talking about what a very exciting and important rally it is. Before we move on to introduce some of our other guests, Chuck, I know, Chuck, you were involved, and I want to give a shout out to Yango Sawyer. I'm so glad you mentioned him.
Yes.
He's been struggling, of course, with some health issues, but he's still very much with us. And I'm happy that you mentioned that he was one of the initial organizers. Chuck, I know you, over the years, you've been in, there were community meetings that took place, and maybe they're still taking place months before the actual January event. But Chuck, do you want to jump in and say anything about the history of the organizing?
It's been a wonderful organization that has kept its existence, because people see the need for it, and they want to keep Dr. King's dream alive. And the way you do that is by participation. And we do it every year.
Yes, and there are quite a lot of organizations that are involved in those planning meetings.
They still happen, yes.
Yes, and Chuck, I'm happy you've been part of it. And I also want to mention, of course, for people who do not know, Dr. Calvin Rolark was very much involved with PFW back in the day with Tom Porter, Gaston Neal, and don't forget the blues, forgetting his name. How can I forget his name, my dear friend? But anyway, Calvin was very involved with some of the campaigns that we did way back in the 90s. So we're happy to have Denise on. And of course, we always remember what he says: if it is up to me, it is up to me.
Well, and, PFW, the backs of our offices used to face each other. We were at 7th and G, and you all were at 7th and H. And
yes.
So Askia, you know, was real close to my dad and myself.
Yes.
So, you know, we're, like Stuart said, family. We're all family.
Yes. Yes, we are a family.
Yeah.
And speaking of family, we have a number of guests that are going to join us in a little while. We're going to introduce some of the organizers of the January 19th. I'll wait for a moment because I want. Stuart.
So Ed Hardy's from the Far Southeast Family Strengthening Collaborative. He also runs something called Wake the Eight. And it's a fitness piece. He may say a few things about that, but we brought Ed on, right? Because for a long time, you know, when we still had Yango, you know, Yango really took the lead on the development and all of the all of the logistics, 4-hour peace walk. He continued to do that. That was that remained his part of what it is we do in terms of trying to pull together a holistic representation of the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. And so in past years, since Yango's been dealing with his health issues, we've had different people come in and do it. And so for the last couple of years, it's been Ed Hardy and Dewan Mason. And Dewan couldn't be with us today, but Ed's going to jump on if he's not already on to talk about the peace walk. If I could, I'd like to just say, for those who want to come out, we're celebrating on the national holiday. Come early. We'll have heated tents, heated spaces along the route. The route starts in Berry Farms on Fort Sterling and Sumner Road. That is where we will begin the process. For the first time in a long time, the peace walk will start right there where the assembly is taking place. And there will be a whole, you know, we have this idea of passing this off to a younger generation, Denise and I. We keep saying this is the last year. But we intentionally are bringing in more and more young people. And so doing the peace walk for the last 2 or 3 years, at least 2 years. Three years. Ed and Dewan has had a nice host of young people to really be doing the speak out, that peace rally that we have right before the peace walk. And so hopefully Ed will come on. He'll tell us about some of those people who are actually going to be speaking, these young people that we are trying to hand the ball off to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ed is here.
And before we move to that discussion with Ed and Nate, I believe, too, there's one other very important event that's taking place before January 19th, and we're honored to have Reverend Wanda Thompson. Denise, if you'd like to introduce Wanda, of course, I'm very happy to have her on. I know Wanda through Graylin Hagler. She's involved with an organization called Faith Strategies, and of course, she's also the pastor of the Ambassador Baptist Church.
Yes.
Denise, if you'd like to introduce Reverend Wanda.
Well, the only thing I can say when I mention Reverend Wanda Thompson, I'm just thinking Quiet Thunder. I mean, she is a real leader. She has been involved with the Ward 8 clergy group for a while and led that organization of mostly male pastors. But she is in charge and does a good job of keeping the monthly meetings going and the agenda going. And it's just been an amazing opportunity to work with her. I haven't attended Ambassador, though. I got to go hear her preach. But, you know, it's just I'm just so grateful that she has taken this project on. And when you think about, I'll just say this last thing. I keep saying the last thing. I'm beginning to sound like a preacher, right? But, you know, every year, one of the first things we do besides the two issues we have is what's going to be our route, which I think we're settled on one now, and what will be our theme. And our theme tends to bubble up from thoughts that Reverend Thompson brings to the table. And so our theme this year, which she will share with you, is, I think, says a lot. You have to think about it for a minute, but it says a lot, especially right now. So I'm grateful to introduce and to welcome Reverend Wanda Thompson.
Welcome, Reverend Thompson.
Thank you.
Tell us about what's going to be happening. I believe it's Saturday, January 17th at 9 a.m.
Yes. Thank you, first of all, for just having me today. And we're really excited about the holiday prayer breakfast, MLK Holiday Prayer Breakfast, which is going to be on Saturday the 17th from 9 to 12:30. And it's going to be at the Covenant Baptist United Church of Christ, which is at 3845 South Capitol Street, Southwest. And we're excited about the theme for this year, which is the struggle is real, the fight is still. And so this comes when we lift it up out of some of the works of Dr. King, particularly three works in general. Where do we go from here? why we can't wait and strive toward freedom, which really speaks to the social justice issues. And we're just excited. We always try to have it to be a multi-generational, interfaith, multicultural celebration. So we're very happy when we always have young people to be a part of it. And we're just excited for the opportunity to engage with the community around this and all as well, too. Our guest preacher for the occasion is going to be the Right Reverend Marianne Buddy, who is the Bishop of Washington. She's with the National Cathedral. Some of you will remember her from the inauguration celebration at the cathedral when she shared remarks about having mercy on the poor. And so we want to have her to come. And this is really an occasion to really revisit social justice issues and to pray. And so we're going to have several prayers that have to do with praying for the end to war, praying for the end to community violence and other things and all as well that affect our community. So we're really looking forward to it. And I should mention that it's the 8th annual holiday prayer breakfast. So we're very excited. Thank you.
Yes, and I believe you've been one of the key organizers for those 8 years. So we appreciate you. And in a moment, we're going to bring in our two other guests, at least one of whom is working with the youth. But I'm going to ask them this question as well. Of course, we're obviously facing some frightening developments with Venezuela and the threat to actually all of South America, including Cuba. And of course, it kind of links to some of the things that are happening in D.C. with the takeover of the attempted takeover of D.C. So I wonder, Reverend Thompson, if there's anything you may want to comment on about those links with what we're facing and the prayer breakfast.
Well, I think one of the things that happens right now is that people are really overwhelmed. And when we think about the things that are on people's minds, war is one of them. War, community violence. We're looking at healthcare issues, healthcare disparities, the cost of healthcare, affordability. We're looking at so many things. And so when we come together, what we want to do is to pray, because we still believe, people of faith believe, that prayer is powerful. It changes people. It changes things. So one of the things we want to do is to do what we can do. And one thing that we all can do is pray, regardless of the faith tradition that we have, we can pray. And so we just encourage people to do that. And I think for right now, I think as we look at the polls and everything, that people are very alarmed about what's going on right now. Certainly, we all could probably agree that we don't think that drugs should be allowed to destroy people in our country. But having said that, we also understand that many people don't think this is about drugs. They mm-hmm. don't think it's about drugs at all. They think it's about the oil in this. Yes. And they're thinking it's about other things. And so the main thing is, and I think what we want to do is to promote peace and end to wars, for people to be able to just learn how to deal with each other. And one of our prayers is about trying to end division in our country and to promote unity.
Absolutely. And Reverend Wanda Thompson, we're very proud and thankful you could join us today. And of course, you'll be with us for the rest of the hour as well. Again, you're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM. This is To Heal DC with me, Joni, and Chuck Hicks is with us today as well, which I'm very thankful Chuck could be with us. We're going to shift now to introducing, I'm going to have Stuart or Denise help me introduce mm-hmm. our other two guests, which is Ed and Nate. So, Stuart, you want to introduce?
Yeah, let's go to Nate. He's one of newly ordained pastors. He's a young guy, and he recently got ordained as a pastor. He's been doing some preaching in the community. He's a foot soldier. He's a pastor on the block, you know. And we met him through Reverend Anthony Motley. You know, he brought him to the table. That's kind of how the coalition, how our group works, is that people who are involved are always bringing in new people who help to continue to lift up the ideas and the concepts of Dr. King. So, Nate, you with us, Nate?
Good morning.
And Nate, we're happy to have you on. Again, you can introduce yourself as well. Say your whole name, Nate.
Yeah, so I am Pastor Nate Douglas of Seven Mountain Ministries. We are a ministry that is called to the streets, and we get people to focus on which one of those seven mountains are theirs in particular. And I'm honored to be a part of the MLK Planning Committee. This is year number two. I'm no longer a rookie, although Stuart still hazes me like I'm a rookie all the time. But I'm so honored to be a part of it. And about 3 years ago, my spiritual mentor, Reverend Anthony Motley, started to focus on tilling the ground spiritually for the events leading up to MLK Day. So a lot of people don't know, but January 12th marks the beginning of MLK Week. Throughout that whole week, there are festivities every day leading up to the prayer breakfast on the 17th that Reverend Wanda just spoke about, Reverend Thompson just spoke about. And then, of course, the peace walk and rally on that following Monday on actual MLK Day. I am a part of the third annual. What we do is we pray and we give song and we give praise and worship to till the ground leading up to the events. It is a heavily spiritual week. So we want to make sure that we set the tone for the godly principles that MLK stood on. So that way it can saturate the land throughout D.C. and just kind of prepare the way for the prayer breakfast and peace walk and rally. This year, we do have a theme this year, as we have been in prayer for leadership for the last year. And now it's time for our leaders to rise with integrity. So that is our theme for the.
Oops.
Let me just
jump in and say before I forget, Reverend Nate mentioned next Monday is January 12th, and I had originally thought about having you guys on then, but I want to announce that we are having a special show dealing with the healthcare changes in D.C., some of which are actually positive. So we want to encourage people to listen to us next Monday, January 12th. But let's go back. We could introduce Ed, but I also want to ask everybody, really, but our two guests, as well as Denise and Stuart, what's going for people who may not be really know what's going on these days, east of the river and Ward 8, and some of the real serious concerns that people have with some of the changes that have not necessarily been positive for youth. So if you could kind of integrate that discussion into what's going to happen on January 19th and how it's linked. But Stuart, you want to introduce Ed?
Oh, yeah. So, and real quick, on the 12th, that's our day of remembrance. And it takes place at Living Word Church. So it'll take place at Living Word Church. It's in the evening after work. We encourage everybody to come out to that day of remembrance, which is the gateway to all of the activities that we will, hopefully we'll talk about a few of the other ones as well. But
Stuart, and just really quick, I'm back. My apology. I don't know what just happened. Living Word Church is located at 4101 MLK Junior Avenue Southwest, D.C., and that is Monday, January 12th from 6:30 to 8:30. Thank you all so much for having me, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, okay, well, stick around.
Don't leave us yet. And I'm just going to say to Stuart, and we hope that you guys will share something we can put on the air public service announcement to make sure that people know about all these things.
Denise, why you let me forget that, Denise?
We got it together.
It's on its way. Yeah.
All right. We got you though, Jody. We got you. We're gonna put something together. We talked about it, right? But let us bring Ed in. Ed will, we're still in negotiations on a few days in the middle of the week, talking to the pastor at Campbell AME. In fact, I just sent him a message. Hey, we got to, you know, get back together to talk about what Campbell actually is doing beyond just being a warming station on January the 19th. But we have with us Ed, who is our co-lead for our point of contact for our peace walk. The very first part of what happens on the 19th of January, the national holiday to celebrate Dr. King. Ed, you with us?
Yeah. Yes. Hey, good morning, everyone.
Yes. Good morning. Wow. And I wish everyone could see. Everybody. I wish everyone could see Ed's great shirt.
That's the week eight.
Wake the eight, which obviously relates to Ward 8. Yep. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll jump into January 19th.
Okay, good. Happy New Year. So my name is Ed Hardy. I'm the community engagement coordinator over at Far Southeast, Family Strengthening and Collaborative, mm-hmm. Community-based organization that's been around for close to 30 years, doing the social service work. And Ward 8 primarily. Also, I'm the founder of Wake the 8 DC. We promote physical fitness and mental wellness. I'm a personal trainer by trade. So that's just a community health initiative. I'm a community health advocate. So I'm also interested in what you talked about that's going to happen on the 12th. So I'll definitely try to tune in. So the Peace Walk and rally, man. I couldn't imagine anything greater to be a part of. I'm a Ward 8 native, and I've been around the MLK parade since I can remember, actually being a part of the Patricia Robert Hurst marching band, and was in the parade probably, I think I was in the parade maybe 3 times. Yeah.
Wow.
So just being able to be a part of the actual planning committee is like, it's like a dream come true. and I didn't even see it coming. Stooges kind of knew that I was, had my feet on the ground, my boots on the ground, Foz, when it comes to community engagement. And I think he saw that I'd be a great addition to it.
So I think one of the things I'm sure you're probably doing is organizing young people to join the parade. So tell us a little bit about that.
That's the most easiest task. but what I'm finding out is that more young people want to be involved than we think. So that's the great thing about it. So that's what's going to be happening this year at the Peace Walk. We'll be having the youth come out that have actually taken part and participated in community-based programs around Ward 8 and the city as a whole, and that can speak about their experience through these programs. We're community advocates, and we're promoting the life and legacy of Dr. King, and how better to do that than making sure that the youth are there to kind of be that voice.
Absolutely. And we're thrilled and happy to have you on here with us. I don't know if we can do this quickly, but perhaps you could share, Ed, some of the concerns that young people or the advocates have that's happening now in the city and in Ward 8 or East of the River in particular. Of course, we're happy. We work a lot with Free DC and Harriet's Wildest Dreams. But tell us from your perspective, what are some of your concerns now about DC?
I think when it, in particular for us, the youth, I think more so it's about having a place, safe spaces to be able to convene and do the things that they like to do. Whether sometimes for an adult, it may look like they ain't doing nothing or, they up to no good, but sometimes they just want to have a place to be able just be a part and be around and don't have to really worry about anything. So having that space to be able to do what they want to do is one of the things that I think is an issue. And then younger people, because of the situations that are going on that we're facing in our community, sometimes younger people get put in the place of adulthood early mm-hmm. on. So a number of those issues that faces young adults are happening with our teenagers as well. So those are some big issues. It's just the support that's needed, the added support, the education, right? Like really getting on top of these education departments and making sure that our kids understand, you know, what to look forward to coming out of school. So it's the youth have a lot of things, you know, have a lot of things going on, but they're youth. You know, one minute they can feel that way, one minute they're not paying attention to it. So, you know, there's a lot of concerns. And I think with all the changes that's happening in our city and across the nation, I think that we're going to see a lot more youth speaking up and speaking out. I think that this year you can really look forward to seeing young people really rally. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it because the young people are a change. I mean, I'm 41, but I know I'm still committed among the young people with some of the organizers. But yeah, for the really young guys and young girls coming up, I think they're really going to have a presence this year.
Absolutely. So one of the things I wanted to say, Ed, maybe Stuart was getting ready to
do it. No, go ahead. I'm going to let you do it because I think Denise and I are so in tune. Having the same vibe. I won't wait to see if it's the same one now.
Essay contest.
Oh, the essay contest. Yeah.
Hey, dude, let's go.
Yeah, so, you know, for several years, Joni, we've been working with, or the Mayor's Youth Leadership Institute has been working with us to make sure that we do an essay contest. And Norm Nixon and Kimmy Hughes and the folks that were over there coordinate that. And, you know, once upon a time, we said young people, they don't want to write essays, right? I think last year we had maybe 130 essays that were submitted. You know, this mm-hmm. year I think we're up to about 70-some so far. And the deadline is coming up really soon. And we've got a great group. They've got a great group of volunteers to judge those essays. And they're divided between elementary, middle, and high school students. So we have a first, second, and third place winner in each category. And this year, the focus is on statehood.
Great.
Yes.
And so we want to hear what they have to say. The high school essay winner will be presented at the prayer breakfast and will be given an opportunity to read their essay at the prayer breakfast. So we can't tell whether they're using ChatGPT. We don't know about that. The point is, if they participate, to me, that's a step forward. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to want to do something and then try to figure out, you know, the best way to do it. So, you know, that's been a real critical part. And I just wanted to say about the prayer breakfast, if I can. I don't know if anybody went to the Capitol to see the unveiling of the statute of our Shiro from Virginia, you know, whose case was a part of the Brown versus Board of Education case. But at any rate, the Eastern High School choir performed amazing. Those young people are amazing. I'm so excited that they will be with us at the prayer breakfast as well. So we've got, I think what Ed said, which is what I really wanted to emphasize here, is that we as older folks and community organizations, everybody have to put a seat at the table and invite young people in to take that seat and to bring, you know, their friends along. That film, Children, The Children's March?
Children's March.
Yes.
It talks about, you know, all the young folks who really were the backbone of the Dr. King's movement and how, you know, he had felt the need to protect them, but he didn't keep them from engaging. And, you know, they were in their teens going to jail. So, you know, our young people have the energy and the ideas and the desire. We just have to create opportunities for them. And it's not all government. you know, it's just not all government. It's our churches, it's our community organizations, it's individuals. We got to create opportunities for them to do what they want to do, which in the most cases, in 99% of the cases, well, I'll say 95% of the cases, are positive things. They want to be positive. So anyway.
Yes. And we want to let you know, of course, you have those opportunities to bring the young people and to WPFW as well. So we can talk about that more, even having short statements, you know, on our show and to Heal DC on a regular basis, if not, you know, more young people as guests. We're going to be
If I could just jump in real quick.
Yes, you know,
The Easton High School being at the prayer breakfast, and I see that Pastor Young is on the call as well too, and he's the host church of for the prayer breakfast as well.
And I wanted to also say that, you know, as it relates, Denise said exactly what I wanted to say about the young people, right? In relationship to what Ed has been talking about, definitely the remember youth leadership has been a part of the last several of our peace walks, and we've been focusing on those young people. But I would be remiss if I did not also say, in addition to Norm Nixon, the great Norm Nixon, and Kimberly Hughes, we have Khadijah Nixon, you know, who is definitely one of our next up and coming leaders of this annual commemoration of the life and legacy of Dr. King. And I want to, in the meetings, I call her the chief. She the boss, you know. I keep trying to make sure that, man, everybody kind of pumps up our young. That's the idea, because when you give them those leadership roles and they take them, their peers will follow behind them, you know. And so that's what this piece is about, Joni. It's about really trying to make sure that we are carrying this torch of all of the ideas, concepts, and sharing the sacrifices that Dr. King and all those who were around him made so that we could be where we are, and then handing that torch to this younger successive generation.
Absolutely. And do we have somebody else that Wanda just mentioned that hasn't spoken yet? Reverend Young, or was
Reverend,
I don't know
if he's not going to talk, then I'm going to talk about
what's happening. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, welcome. So,
what's happening with Covenant?
Hey, Sister Eisenberg, Sister Joni.
Welcome.
Good to see you again. Good to be on your show again.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll just talk about some of the things Covenant is involved in.
And introduce yourself first, better.
Okay, sure. Yes. William Young. I'm the senior pastor at Covenant Baptist United Church of Christ in the Bellevue community in Ward 8, South Capitol Street, Southwest. We have been actually involved with the MLK events from the very beginning, from the 70s. The pastor at the time, Dr. H. Wesley Wiley, teamed up with Living Word Church, other congregations in the area, as well as Mr. Green and Mr. Rolock, of course, to begin the parades. And so the commemorative service for MLK Day, the citywide service, has always been held at Covenant from the beginning. I know that other churches have their MLK services, but Covenant's is the flagship MLK Sunday morning service. And so we have that at 10 a.m. And for the past 3 years, we have added a lecture component to our events, a sort of teach-in opportunity for anybody and everybody who wants to talk about the influence of the Civil Rights Movement and Dr. King on our current landscape. Mm-hmm. And so we have the lecture on, it will be at the church at Covenant on Saturday, the 17th?
17th, yes.
Is that the 17th of January?
Yes, yes.
At 6 p.m. And then the service is at on the 18th at 10 a.m. And the speaker for both of those occasions will be Reverend Dr. Forrest Harris, who is the president emeritus of American Baptist College in Nashville, Tennessee. That's a school that is very pivotal in civil rights history. John Lewis was a student there, and other early SNCC leaders. And so he has been, Dr. Harris has been very pivotal in keeping that HBCU open over the years. So we're honored to have him as our speaker. He's also a professor at Vanderbilt University Divinity School. And so he'll give the lecture on the Saturday.
Thank you, Reverend.
Okay, sure.
I'm sorry. I want to make sure we have... We're going to run out of time soon, but we have time for people to give their last comments before we're done today. And I want to ask especially Denise Stewart, Ed, and Nate, if we can fit you guys in, about what is the most important thing when you think about the changes that are needed in Ward 8 for young people, but also for people in general east of the river. And how does that link with what's happening in Venezuela? If you can kind of connect those dots about what you see the Dr. King's event on January 19th, how those will be connect the challenges that we're facing today. Who wants to, Denise, you want to start with that?
Well, I'll kick it off. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we know that, you know, the cost of housing has increased. Rents have increased. There's more availability of housing in Ward 8, but still not affordable housing. Education is critical. You know, there's so many issues while, you know, we're over in another country talking about we're going to control or that country when we're not really doing a good job of what we need to be doing at home in this ever so safe nation's capital that the president said hasn't had a murder in 6 months. You know, I guess because he spent so much time down there in Mar-a-Lago. But the point is that we are left to our own devices. We have a changing city council that's about to take place. We don't even know what governance is going to look like in the city in 2027. So, you know, I think people need to be really engaged. That's why we're having this. This is why Reverend Young made it clear to us the other day that we need to maybe even put some statements out there. We want people to talk. We want you to go to our website, mlkholidaydc.org, or go to our social pages and answer Joni's question. I don't have the answer to that, Joni. I really don't. But I think, as my daddy said, if it is to be, it's up to me. And each one of us has to do something. If we see a problem, you know, they say, if you see something, say something. And I'm going to add to that, do something. It's up to each one of us to do something to address what's happening in our communities. And to go back to, you know, history teaches us that we had nobody to rely on for decades but ourselves. So we got to, you know, make sure that we can continue to do that, including protecting our communities. We don't have National Guard running around out here, you know, not like they are in other places. And we're not asking them to come either. We're saying this is in our hands, and we need to take care of ourselves, our community, our children, our seniors. And so Dr. King talked about all of those things, you know, and we just want to lift his words and his message and make sure that, you know, people know that there's a blueprint out there for us to follow. We just need to. They had 2025. We have God prayers.
right.
So,
and of course, let me just say, of course, there's a new mayor in New York City, and hope we can take some inspiration from what he's doing and bring it into D.C. We only have 2 minutes left. Stuart, if you want
to. I'd like to take my last minute to just say something, another aspect of what we do, and that is trying to elevate community voices that have meant something and mean something to the work that we all are engaged in at some level. And Pastor Young mentioned the Wiley. He mentioned Dennis Wiley, but also Christine Wiley. You know, we select grand marshals, individuals that we lift up to try to say, hey, here's Dr. King's work kind of in action. And so the Wileys collectively, former pastors of Covenant UUC, are one of our grand marshals. You mentioned Harriet Wilder's dream and everything. And so organizationally, we're lifting up that organization because of the work that they are doing independent of Free DC, but also the work that they're doing with Free DC.
Absolutely.
Which all ties all our stuff together, our young people and everything. But we also lift up Anise Jenkins, who, you know, was an early member and catalyst and founder of the whole Free DC concept and stuff.
Romeo
Spalding is another one of our grand marshals. We talked about Dewan being a point of contact for the peace walk, but she's also one of our grand marshals this year, and Charlie Gussum. And so I'd like to just end by saying we lift these individuals up because we see them doing some aspect of the work that Dr. King called all of us to come to the table and do. And how does it relate? It relates because it is about taking care of people. And I think that's a nexus between the two concepts and ideas that you asked us about. And I thank you all again. I thank Tia. I thank the whole WPFW family for having us on. Joan, back to you.
And Stuart, listeners can't see, but Stuart's wearing a shirt that I was involved with. To in order to not health, we have to organize for a city that is helping the people. We're out of time. I want to thank Magic Mike for everything he does. I want to thank Chuck for being with us. And of course, Nate and Ed, Reverend Nate and Ed, and Reverend Wanda Thompson. And I want to tell you, you should stay tuned for the next show, Make It Plain with Mark Thompson, 2 p.m. To Your Health with Dr. Watkins and Frank Smith. Stay tuned to PFW. We're going to be having ongoing updates about what's happening in Venezuela. And with that said, we're going to go out with a little celebration of Dr. King musically. Thanks to everybody. And again, Happy New Year. If we stay together and organize, we can continue to fight for a better world.
Thanks,
with Julie. Peace. Thank you, Denise.
Yeah.
Thanks, Stuart. I'll be talking to you.
Sure thing. Be in touch.
Yes.
You know, it didn't make much sense. That should be a law again. And you want to take a chance at a radio celebration. Genocide. You show just how much we love you. And I'm sure they can agree. And it must be the glee on behalf of one party. The day you came to be.
Inviting all DC hand dancers, Philly boppers, Chicago steppers, Carolina shaggers, and West Coast swingers. The Treehouse Dreamers venue offers dance music from Motown and more every Friday, 1 to 5 p.m. at 4722 14th Street Northwest. DJ Jam and Dave and other fine DJs provide an atmosphere offering seniors socialization while getting much-needed quality movement through familiar tunes and dance every Friday. Details at 301-922-4064. That's 301-922-4064. WPFW offering wellness through dance, one activity at a time.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. For nearly 5 decades, support from listeners like you has kept WPFW's wheels rolling. In fact, the single largest category of donations comes from those who donate an unused car to the station. That's right, running or not. Even a car sitting idle that needs thousands of dollars in repairs can do wonders for WPFW. If you can't drive it, donate it. WPFW will get the proceeds, and you'll get a tax break. Go to WPFWFM.org or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Sego, this is John Kane, and I want to invite you to join me right here on WPFW on Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native. I will deliver guests and commentary each week on the real-life issues facing Native people. No romanticizing and no Hollywood stereotypes here. We'll talk real history and culture and life as it is and as it should be. Our shows are available as podcasts on your favorite podcast platforms and as videos on our Let's Talk Native TV YouTube channel. Find links and more at our website, www.letstalknative.com. And I'll see you here Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native with John Kane.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
On Monday, January 19th, 9 a.m. until midnight, WPFW presents Injustice Anywhere, honoring the Pan-Africanist MLK and Haiti, the first sovereign Black Republic. From 9 a.m. until noon, we examine the Pan-Africanist legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. From noon until midnight, we center Haiti, her history, triumphs, troubles, and culture. That's Injustice Anywhere, honoring the Pan-Africanist, MLK, and Haiti, the first sovereign Black Republic. Monday, January 19th, 9 a.m. until midnight. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
The Birchmere presents Derek Gripper and Balake Sissoko, January 14th. Avery Sunshine, January 17th. Will Downing, January 30th and 31st. And Babatunde Hip Hopra, February 1st. Details at birchmere.com.
No social justice issue or movement can escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage from the biggest countries in South America to the smallest enclaves of Central America and the Caribbean, and is available on SoundCloud, iTunes Podcast, and Google Play Music. The Latino Media Collective is recorded in WPFW Studios and airs Fridays at 1 p.m. on WPFW, Washington.